From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Don't forget the New Mexico Men of Honor have Judge Vance Day coming in October 19th. It's going to be a morning, 8 o'clock. I'm joined in studio by Dennis Popper, and we have Judge Vance Day on the phone with us. But let me tell you about the event. Burritos, fellowship, 8 o'clock a.m., worship and teaching, 9 to 11. How's that morning thing working out, Dennis?
That's working out good. Guys are hungry in the morning for both food and for the word. So, and we have great worship set up as well.
Well, Judge Day, you are always gracious. You've become quite a friend, not only of New Mexico Men of Honor, but also of our radio station. We appreciate that very much. To let our listeners know, Judge Day is a former Marion County, Oregon Circuit Court judge. He's a married father of three. He earned his law degree from Willamette University College in Salem, in Massachusetts?
No, it's Salem, Willamette. Oregon. Damn it.
Ah, okay. I did the wrong
thing. Willamette.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it. You know, there are so many people who call it Willamette. I've just accepted it. It's in Salem, Oregon.
Salem, Oregon.
And it's all good.
That's good. That's good. Judge Day is also the former president of Promise Keepers. And again, as I said, a friend of New Mexico Men of Honor and KLYT Radio. Dennis Popper is the co-chair of New Mexico Men of Honor with our friend Steve Stucker. The vision of New Mexico Men of Honor is to unite, equip, and encourage men in New Mexico through quarterly events that focus on worship, prayer, and Bible teaching. And I'm going to really direct this to you, Dennis, first, but I'm hoping Judge Day will chime in on this first question. Why is it so hard to get men to fellowship together? And I'm going to qualify that. It's not hard to get men to go play a basketball game and then to hang out in a locker room and talk about inappropriate subjects. So it seems to me it's not that hard to get men together, but when it comes to their spiritual health and their responsibilities, seems like it's a bigger obstacle.
You know, I almost look at it in the way of war, in this way, that if we were in a place where we had to get guys together to protect our families and our city, our state, you would have a lot of guys participate, and we would come together in unity and go march and carry the torch, right? Yeah. But when it comes to following Christ, there's a lot of guys that feel like they're not equipped, they don't measure up, they're worried about what others think about them. And so we always just keep having the handout, come on, guys, don't think that way. Come with us. Let's talk together. Let's be transparent. Let's take the torch and storm the castle in the name of Christ. Let's go together and let's lift one another up and let's pray for what you need in life. How's your marriage? How's your life going, your job? And how can I help you? How can I pray for you? How can I walk beside you and encourage you? That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And Judge Day, you experience the same thing, not only working with Promise Keepers, but now in the ministry that you've continued to do since that time.
Well, it is hard to get men together, and that's partially because of our culture, materialistic culture that focuses on entertainment and playing and get all you can, because this is all you have. There is no afterlife. We're just a product of time and slime, and therefore you just get to do what you darn well please. That presupposition mitigates and militates against men getting together and being authentic. But when we look at what we're created to do as men, it begins to change our whole view. I mean, we are designed to protect and provide and plan with our families and promote our families and play with our families. And so when men start to gather together and start to have their minds renewed about, oh, this protection thing, that's a good thing. I want to provide for my family. I love to plan with my wife and my kids and promote them, and we get to play together. Those five elements of how a man is to engage his family and life begin to bring him life and joy and purpose.
Hmm. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, today is our world. I don't even know if I know where we're at with anything, because it's all become very confusing. And having responsibility as a man to wade through all of that, sometimes we need some clarification. And to get clarification, sometimes we need to step away from all the stuff we're doing every day. That's why you want people to go to meet with you on October 19th at New Covenant Church, 7201 Paseo del Norte in Albuquerque. 9 to 11 is going to be the event. 8 o'clock, you're starting to feed people. There'll be burritos.
And coffee.
Chance, coffee.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do anything without coffee.
That's right. Wake them up.
Wake them up. But Judge Day, talk to us a little bit about the history in America. Jesus, people that follow Jesus, people that were involved in the clergy, they seem to be, during the time of our founders, more involved with the government than they are today. Is that true?
It is true. And the interesting thing about any nation that is successful for the long term, it has to have a biblical foundation to it. And so many nations and or groups of people, tribes in the past, of course, never started with a biblical worldview or a foundation that was rested on God. When you look at America, it's very different. And I know there's a big debate about that, but there really shouldn't be. You read our original documents, you look through their journals, you see what historically were happening, and they understood that God has a plan for every person, a destiny for that person, and that we can fulfill that destiny only through partnering with Jesus Christ and others. The challenge today is that God hasn't changed, but we have. And we are looking at our existence as being more of an individual instead of more of a corporate environment. And we don't see that we can make any difference as an individual. Well, in my view, that's just bovine material. That's just not true. Mm. Individuals, when we combine together with a viewpoint that is similar, meaning we want righteousness to be brought back into culture, we have a duty as believers, as Christians, to engage civil government, to engage culture. Because, you know, the old saying, politics is downstream from culture. And we're experiencing that because men have, you know, we've stepped back from influencing culture. We've stepped back from taking leadership positions and pushing forward. We've self-deselected from the battle. And every man is a warrior at heart. I don't care who you are. You see something that's wrong and you know it's wrong. There's something that rises up in you and you want to push back on that. When we do that corporately as believers, it changes the world. Mm. And our heritage is in America is to do that. So we're going to be talking about that on the 19th and how important it is. And men, I think, are going to, you know, come away from our time together with a little bit of a different view of how awesome it is to start to lead and to change things.
Well, and Judge Day, I'm not going to recite all the things that you've been through, but you were a circuit court judge. You took a stand because of your religious faith to not really discriminate. It's really just your decision. You didn't want to perform a marriage ceremony for same-sex couples. And there was plenty of people that would do that and fulfill that role if they wanted to, but then you faced a lot of persecution. So that, I think that sends alarm bells off to a lot of believers, is they don't quite understand that God is involved in the government, but the government really isn't in support of Christian values, is it?
No, not a bit. And that's why Christians need to be involved in the government. And I view it, I think biblically, there are really four forms of government, and that would be your individual government, self-government, family government, church government, and also maybe even association business government. And then there's civil government, and civil government biblically is a limited form of government. I mean, Romans describes it, 1 Peter 3, as a minister to punish evil and to encourage good. And when we get far outside what God's design is for civil government, then civil government begins to take over all government. It begins to tell us how we have to raise our children and that we can't transmit our faith to them. It begins to tell churches, you're okay if you just stay in your building, but don't come outside the building. Don't start influencing us. We're in charge. And of course, to the individual, the civil government begins to push in on our inalienable rights, that which is, you know, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, the ability to speak my mind, liberty of conscience, to associate with people that I want to. Civil government begins to invade those other forms of government. And unless believers stand up and say, hold on, I'm going to vote for people and I'm going to run for office and I'm going to support those who believe in a Judeo-Christian worldview about government, that civil government doesn't have all the power and they don't get to use the power by invading other forms of government, particularly my individual government, my liberty to choose.
I love that. Vance, let me ask you a question. What is the push? What is the end game for governments to go the opposite way of a Judeo-Christian government? What's going on here?
It's about power and control. It always has been. I mean, that you look at, you know, the fall of Lucifer. It was about power and control. He wanted to wrestle power away from God. He wanted all the power. And that flows through human history. And it flows into our marriage relationships, our business relationships. So many different areas are all about who gets the power and who gets to control. And when we realize that God is sovereign, I mean, he really believes he is. He has no doubt that he's sovereign. But yet he gives us liberty. And part of that liberty is to say no to him. Because if you can't, if you don't have the liberty to say no to God, you don't have the liberty to say yes to him. And so in a republic, we've chosen this form of constitutional republic. I think it's veered far away from where it needs to be. But nevertheless, he lets us choose. And when we choose not to vote, we're choosing to let somebody else dictate what we do, when we do it, how we do it. Instead of being involved in our civil government, we've chosen to step back. And that always creates a vacuum, Dennis. And you know what happens when there's a vacuum? Someone's going to fill it.
Right.
And so that's why believers really need to understand that we don't get to stand on the sidelines. We have to be involved. And that doesn't mean being brutish, mean, and nasty. No, in fact, just the opposite. But what it means is we have to take our stewardship responsibilities seriously. We just don't, you know, we're going to have to stand in front of God someday, and he's going to say, why did you bury your ability to vote and to lead a community? You just buried it. You didn't use your talent.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear that.
I had a relative of mine try to explain to me that he just didn't feel like voting was worth it. And I said, well, the more I thought about it is you vote every day. You vote what you're going to eat. You vote what you're going to drive, where you're going to work, who you're living with. You're voting every day with your money. Why would you not vote for who is going to make laws in front of you?
But, right? Guys, you know, you already know the data. Only 50% of believing Christians are registered to vote. And the really thing that bothers me more than anything is less than half of those will actually vote in the election.
Yeah.
And I don't get that. And obviously the reason we're bringing this up is we'd like people to understand that God's given you an opportunity to participate in the government with something as simple as voting. And we're not going to tell you how to vote. Hope you vote your Bible. Hope vote the way the Holy Spirit's leading you. That's what my hope is. But I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. And I think you're going to, it sounds like Judge Day, when you come on October 19th to the New Covenant Church, you're going to be talking to men about some of their responsibilities and how we should participate.
Absolutely. And what a joy it is to engage with other men in a single purpose or multiple purposes. We're created for connection and first with God, but then with each other. There's nothing like being part of a brotherhood of a close-knit group of guys that do life together. share things that you know, and be transparent and grow together and suffer together. We're not designed to, you know, do this alone. And yeah. So, yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about that. And what a blessing it is that we have brothers who will walk through life with us.
Outstanding. We've got a lot more with Judge Vance Day and Dennis Popper with New Mexico Men of Honor. We'll be right back after these messages. Judge Vance Day and Dennis Popper in studio, and we're talking today about the October 19th New Mexico Men of Honor get together. It's going to be at New Covenant Church, 7201 Paseo del Norte in Albuquerque. You're wanting people from all over the state, though, right, Dennis?
I mean, it
doesn't matter what church come. It's a free event.
That's right.
You're going to have some burritos and coffee. And
Saturday morning, you bet. And well, at 8 o'clock, you know, you can even get there at 7:30. But at 8 o'clock, we'll be serving burritos and coffee, and then we'll have fellowship. 9 o'clock, we'll start the worship. Have a little talk between Steve Stucker and I about what New Mexico Honor, Men of Honor is doing and what we're about. And then we'll have Judge Vance Day come and speak. You know, he came last, a couple years ago, and we had a great crowd, and it was a great message. We had a lot of men come forward to accept or rededicate their lives to Christ. And man, it was just a powerful time. And, you know, I had Judge Vance Day for 4 days to speak with men. We had all kinds of different venues that we had him speak at. And, man, I'm just so appreciative and grateful for Judge to come and visit with us and share his heart with us. And I'm just looking forward to it.
I love it. Judge Day.
We had a great time, Dennis. We really did. I look back on that time with great fondness. I love New Mexico Men of Honor.
Well, I'm glad you're coming, and we're blessed to have you in the state when you can make it out here. Judge Day, I wrote down a couple things, and I'm not going to be able to quote them directly, but you started by talking about a successful government is not going to be really successful unless Christ is at the center. And then you brought up the word tribal and tribalism. And of course, we all know what tribes are out there. In fact, I'm going through the book of Acts right now with a bunch of other men, and you can, you know, the Jews were very resistant to this new tribe called Christians, and especially when those Christians were accepting Samaritans and non-Jewish believers to be part of the fold. And you just start to see all the conflicts and things. But even in Acts, the people began coming together. Those that accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, they became one tribe. And so I guess I'm asking the question, can we all come together? And even if you're not a believer, Judge, are there people that may not, that don't believe, that might feel that they could trust a Christian government leader because they know they'd be treated well?
Well, two things come to mind, Jim. One, we can't have true unity without the Spirit of God involved. Otherwise, it's kind of a faux unity. It can unity only for a certain purpose or for a time, and unity only comes when individuals practice the presence of God, being before Him, constantly praying. And that isn't necessarily, you know, we get into these little cultural kind of warps, I guess, where we think, oh, I can't. Gosh, the Word calls me to pray constantly, you know, without ceasing. What the heck? I gotta go to the bathroom and make breakfast. No, we're not talking about that. It's a lifestyle of being before God. And when individually we're committed to that lifestyle, corporately we become committed to it as well. And so that corporate lifestyle of finding things that we can unify around, Jesus, a certain way of how we're going to engage, it becomes attractive to people who don't even know God. And that's the blessing, because, you know, only a biblical form of government, meaning that you truly do, as our money says, you know, trust in God, mm-hmm. that one nation before God, when we have that as a centerpiece, then people really do have liberty, because Christianity and those who are believers in government Christianity is the only form and the only religion and only worldview that allows you the free will to make a bad choice. Mm-hmm. Other forms of religion, you know, do not allow. They rule by force and violence. Christianity rules, and I shouldn't say rule, we participate through reason and conviction. And it's a very different model.
You know, that's, therefore, Judge, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I can't help but think about things that I hear coming out in the LGBTQ community about Hamas and the war in Israel. The people that are arguing for Hamas in that community don't realize that if Hamas was in control of the world, they would be immediately executed. Right. I mean, this is not discrimination. This is, we're going to kill you. And that's not what Christians do.
We
love people and we care about them. Sure, we don't disagree. We disagree with, you know, I don't want to live that way. And you have the choice to live the way you want to live, but we're not going to take your life.
Hmm.
And the other thing is, I know this is true in law enforcement and this is true in our military. People that are involved in those vocations, it's really a spiritual thing because they're risking their lives and loving people they don't even know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no greater love has a man than to lay his own life down for them.
Yes.
And you're right, Jim. We live in a little bit of a bubble, and because we're so wealthy in the sense of we got most everything at our fingertips, we lose a sensitivity to the rawness of other cultures and their worldviews. Meaning, when you describe what Hamas would do with, you know, the gay and lesbian communities, it would be horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And as a former news reporter who was stationed in the Middle East, I watched that stuff happen and had to report on it. So we don't really live in the real world sometimes when it comes to, you know, how we engage. We just kind of, we're allowed to do, in many ways, I'm thankful for it, what we want to do. The problem is we become little islands. And men, I tell you, if you're listening to this broadcast, show up on the 19th. Don't listen to little voices. I get to sleep in on that day. It's Saturday. I don't have to go to work. No, guys, show up.
Yeah.
The reason is because God can change you and he can change your family. The problems that you're having right now, men can join you alongside those problems, share what they've done, and you watch. You'll begin to see those problems dissipate because you got a tribe around you who loves you, cares for you, walks with you, and does life with you. That's what this is about.
Let me ask Dennis, and please add to it as Dennis answers here, Judge Day. We're on the campus of Calvary Church. KLYT is not a Calvary thing. We have involvement from every evangelical church that wants to use this as a tool to reach people. But let's take three large churches. Let's take Copper Point or Citizen Church now. I always get that wrong.
Yeah.
Let's take Legacy Church and Calvary. Those are three pretty big churches. And let's take some medium-sized church like Hoffmantown and Victory Church and some others. Why would it be beneficial for those men in each of those churches to come together at New Covenant Church, a medium-sized church? Mm-hmm. Why would it be good for them to come together? And is it iron sharpens iron?
Yeah.
With all those men together in a room, would they be able to glean something out of this event that will help them go back to their church and strengthen it?
Oh, I love the question. You know, Brian Allred started this with New Mexico Praise, and his heart was to bring everybody together in the name of Christ and pray for the country, pray for the state, pray for the city, and pray for our community and one another. And he's got a big ministry now called America Praise and World Praise. But anyways, that's what he asked me to do when he approached me is, hey, would you like to lead a men's ministry we'll call it whatever. And but we want, our purpose is to bring brothers in Christ together, stop these walls from getting put up between churches, and let's come together. And, you know, that's an exciting thing. It even makes the hair on my arm stand up, because I am so excited about seeing men come together from different churches, hugging one another in the name of Christ and just fellowshipping. And, hey, we are one in Christ. And that is so important, and that is so powerful to have that unity that, boy, we can accomplish a lot of things if we just put the walls down between churches. We come together in unity. And this is one of the big things that I had in my mind about this very event and having Judge Vance Day come and speak, is to, for all of us to come in unity. And we need to, like you said, Jim, is to vote the Bible, our Judeo-Christian values. Now, not everybody is perfect on the ballot. If you were to look into their lives, yeah, they probably have a lot of problems here and there. But who closely is the closest one to follow Judeo-Christian values that God has given us? And just this morning, I talked to a friend that had a neighbor come to him and said, please, please don't vote for Trump. Whatever you do, don't vote for Trump. And friends, well, why are you saying that? Well, because he'll do this, he'll do that, he'll do this. All the had a line of things. And so my friend said, well, wait a minute, who do you listen to? Where do you get your information from? And this person told them what news that they listened to. And said, oh, well, okay, well, no wonder. How about trying this newscast, this other one? Obviously, I'm not naming names here. But anyway, they said, okay, once you listen to that news, then let's have a conversation. But all of these things you just rattled off, I don't believe most any of them are true. And so I thought that was interesting, you know, just, and this person claims to be LGBTQ, a woman and a woman living together. And so they, you know, this was a contention. Please don't vote for this guy. But all the facts were wrong that they rattled off.
I may have had this conversation with both of you. I can't remember. But back when Joe Biden was elected president, I was happened to be in San Diego. I had three of my children go to school at Point Loma Nazarene out there in San Diego. And I went out to visit quite a bit. And one of my favorite routines was to go out to Coronado Beach in front of the Dell. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it looks out on the Pacific Ocean. And I go out there about 5:30 in the morning. The sun comes up from behind you. You see the marine layer, which is a bunch of fog, kind of burn off. And then I walk over to a little restaurant that's around the corner from the Dell on Coronado. And I kind of had that habit for a number of years. Well, I walk into this restaurant, and two women are sitting in the table, and we're the only three in the restaurant. And they greet me very enthusiastic. Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, who are you? What are you doing here? All that kind of stuff. And I told them that, you know, I host a Christian radio show and this and that. And one of the ladies looks up at me, and she's smiling the whole time. I mean, this was very friendly. And she says, oh, you don't want to talk to us. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, we're lesbians. And I said, well, are you really saying that you don't want to talk to me because I'm a Christian? And then we all laughed. And then she said, you would be amazed if I told you something. She says, obviously, we have a community of people that we hang out with. And she said, we have finally figured out the progressives in this country. They don't want us to have liberty and freedom. They want to control us. Mm. So we are going to be voting for people that we believe we can trust. And most of those people are Christians. That's what this lady told me. And I was just amazed. I didn't solicit those comments. We had a very nice conversation, had coffee together. And I wish someday that I could, you know, I wish I could run into him and say, well, How do you think you're going to vote this election? You know, because it is going to be critical to vote and to participate. So we have Judge Vance Day on the phone with us and Dennis Popper with New Mexico Men of Honor in studio. Judge Day is going to be here on October 19th at New Covenant Church, 8 o'clock in the morning. Burritos 9 to 11 is going to be worship, and Judge Day sharing a special message with men, and we're hoping that men from around the whole state of New Mexico, different churches will come. The event is free.
That's right.
And not going to cost you anything. We've got a couple more segments with these gentlemen. We hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back. Dennis Popper in studio, and Judge Vance Day is with us by, what do you call this, streaming? you know, we're using computers to talk to each other now. It's kind of nice because you can do this to somebody overseas or in another state. In the old days of long distance charges, young people won't even know what that is, right? Judge Day, nope. You're probably doing a lot of these kind of meetings because I know you're speaking and doing things all across the country. What do you hope? What's your main hope in communicating with the men of New Mexico? What's going to be your main challenge for them?
That number one, we have to have a firm grounding in who we are as men. That men, frankly, are different than women, and that God created us to engage the world in a very active way. And when we self-deselect from the adventure that He's given us, we become shallow, we become narcissistic, we move in a whole different direction, and we lead our families right down that hole. But yet, when men learn how to engage other men, find a purpose that matches what God has for them, and begin to take that adventure, that it is one of the most thrilling things you can do. In fact, you're designed for it. You're created for it. All men have that sense of the warrior deep within. And I know that, you know, some people get all rattled about when they hear somebody like me talk about men being warriors, but we are all created in the image of God. And when we begin to allow that image within us to pervade everything we do, we find, one, great fulfillment. Two, we find that our problems begin to look more like opportunities than problems. And then three, we become part of a community that makes an eternal difference, not just a momentary difference, but an eternal difference in the lives of others, particularly our wives or our wife, and our children, and those that we're in community with. And so my challenge to the men of New Mexico is, one, wake up. Two, smell the coffee, because God's got a plan for you. And three, He's inviting you into an adventure. If you don't self-deselect, then you're going to find out what life's really about.
I love it. I have been discipling. I go through this the class is self-confrontation. It's biblical discipleship on Monday nights. So I have had the opportunity to look at it. Part of it is having the guys write out their testimony. So I've read, I don't know, 100 of them or more. And one of the things that I've noticed, it's kind of a common thread, is that you have a person that accepted Christ, young in their life or old in their life, but then they went through a rocky stage for a year or 10 years or whatever of trying to figure out how to walk with Christ. And they basically got their fire insurance at the beginning. And then if they didn't have another person come alongside them and disciple them, then they had this terrible experience either with the church or with themselves. And so that is kind of a common theme, is that they finally come back to the Lord. And now I want to know, because why? Because my life is a mess without walking with the Lord. Yeah, I know Him and I've accepted Him into my life, but boy, I just, I really stumbled over this, over that, and lots of things that they've gotten into. But this verse, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I just feel like Judge kind of summarized that in a lot of different ways, that he's going to challenge us to be able to know God's word, discern it, and that we're going to be good and acceptable before God once we start seeing what God wants us to do. Well, what does God want us to do? Well, from Genesis to Revelation, it tells us what God wants us to do, right? And we need to help each other, guys coming together, to be transparent with each other, to know what God wants us to do. And I learned a lot last time Judge was here, because he just has a lot of insight of what God is doing in his life and through the things he's been through. And then I have my story, and Jim, you have yours. And I help I see things in myself that you've done and that Judge has done, and it helps me understand a little more about myself. God really uses that, I believe, our own witness, our own story of walking with the Lord.
What's an example of how our minds need to be renewed?
You know, that's a really important question that I don't think we ask within the church very often. And I think that, you know, relating to what you just said, Dennis, there are a lot of men and women who are listening to this broadcast right now who may be pre-believers. And for you folks, you're still in power over your life and control over your life. And we all have experienced that to a certain extent. But when we become a believer, there's a process that has to happen. You know, most people, like you said, Dennis, they get their fire insurance. They believe in Jesus. They've accepted him. But their self is still on the throne. They are continuing to keep control of everything. And the step that has to happen is self gets dethroned. The Jesus becomes the Lord of your life. Not just your Savior, but your Lord. And that can be a process. And that surrendering process, we grow in faith. And pretty soon, God starts moving through us in power. When Jesus is on the throne of our life and self is dethroned, you know, there's an empowering that begins to occur. And we start feeling that inner joy and that purpose. And we begin understanding which way to go with our lives and how to live. And it becomes one of these things that you look back and you say, I cannot believe I lived that way for all those years.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. And that's the beauty of being in community with men, because men make men.
Yeah.
And we forget that. I love my wife to death, but she doesn't make men. Hmm. Men make men.
But Judge Day, I think you might recommend to your wife too that maybe she needs to be hanging out with some women too. Do you do that? I mean, is it good for women to be with women? I mean, you know, men and women, and obviously you have a wonderful marriage, and that's a lot of work in and of itself. But sometimes people don't realize that, you know, women, you need to surround yourself with women that are for you if you're a woman. Mm-hmm. And same thing with a man. Mm-hmm. You need to surround yourself with guys that are for you. And I referred to earlier locker room talk. I remember locker room talk was never healthy. Now, it was okay if we were talking about the game, but if we were talking about anything else, women or whatever, if you really repeated any of those things, it was very destructive, the whole conversation. And when you become a believer, you just kind of get to where, I don't need to talk about that frivolous stuff. Hmm. I want to know how you're doing. How can I help you? How can I encourage you?
I remember when I was in my 20s trying to figure out what it is to walk with Christ. I had a mentor, Don, that was discipling me. And one of the things that I envied about other Christians is that the peace that they had, you know, just a person that can just laugh at themselves, laugh about just about anything, and just enjoy life, go out and enjoy the mountains, a sunset. And if something wrong happened in their life, lost a job or something serious, they took it in such a way that it marveled me to see somebody still have that joy and peace in their life going through suffering. And so I really paid attention to that. And I think that the guys that I have looked at, again, a theme of what are guys looking for is to have a joyful life, an abundant life in Christ. And that's hard to come by if you're, if you've got a lot of baggage where you're drinking, you're looking at pornography, you're whatever it may be that is, whatever's in between you and God, you're paying attention to, then that's a destroyer. Like you said, even conversations can be a destructive thing. But the one thing that I've noticed is that these guys want freedom from that, victory from those things. And the only way you're going to see that is Matthew 22:37 is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. If you can do that, all of a sudden those things become less. I don't desire those things anymore because God has my focus. And that's what we really try to do on biblical discipleship is try to help these guys see, hey, man, you got to focus on Christ. Focus on the Lord with all your mind, your heart, and your soul. And you'll start to see your life coming back into where God wants you to walk on this path.
Judge Day, working with men, have you seen men caught up in, I'm going to use this word, which I don't believe it's actually accurate, hidden sins, men controlled by hidden sins. There's no sins that are hidden. Have you seen men come back from things like addictions to pornography and substance abuse, alcohol, et cetera? Have you seen men come back and their lives, their minds be renewed and God use them in a way to impact other people?
Only through the power of Christ. And the answer is absolutely yes. I ran a veterans court for years. I saw men chewed up in combat who were terrorized by nightmares, who came to know Christ, and their lives radically changed. I've seen men who, you know, have been under the pernicious evil of pornography, tortured by it because of sexual abuse when they were young. I've seen them freed up to understand that their only source of sexual satisfaction should be their wife in every single way. And when they begin to commit to that covenant relationship in the depth of it, it changes the nature of their relationship because they stop using women as objects for their own personal satisfaction and recognizing that the woman that they have as their wife, their future wife, needs to be honored and cared for, cherished, because she is the daughter of Christ. And so a biblical worldview, you know, that Dennis, you talked about Romans, you know, 12:2. And that is such an important thing for all men to understand. We are called not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we skip this last little bit here. That by testing, let me stop that. That by testing, you may discern what the will of God is. We forget as men that if your muscles need to get big, you got to test them. You got to strain them. You're going to go through testing. It's part of God's plan. Do not run from it. Engage it. Lean into it. When God gives you a trial, rejoice, because He is calling you up to a promotion.
I love that. I love that. And somebody, I heard somebody say one time, is that faith is like a muscle. You must work it out. You know, I love when a guy is asking me, hey, I'm trying to figure out what to do here, and I think the Lord wants me to do this or maybe this. And I love having that conversation because I've been in that place many a time. And what then comes to mind is, well, you can't steer a parked car. You have to take a step of faith towards where you believe God wants you to go. And then He'll show you, because maybe He won't show you at the beginning. Maybe He'll show you as you're going towards what you believe He wants you to do. That's a big step of faith right there. I remember me wanting to go on my own in my own business, and I was scared to death to do it, but I took a step, and then I took another one, and God led me through all of these different things.
Judge Vance Day is going to be speaking at New Covenant Church on October 19th, the morning of burritos and fellowship at 8 o'clock. worship from 9 to 11, and Judge Day will be given a special message during that time as well. New Covenant Church, free event with New Mexico Men of Honor. We've got one more short segment, guys. We're only going to have about 8 minutes for this next segment, but I've got a couple questions I'd like to ask both of you. So I hope everybody will stay with us.
Yeah, go to nmmenofhonor.com, and you can see the information there, too, as well.
nmmenofhonor.com. We'll be right back. We are back on ABQ Connect. Again, one more time, Judge Vance Day will be to town on October 19th. He'll be speaking at New Covenant Church, 7201 Paseo del Norte. Go to nmmenofhonor.com, and yes, you can find out the details of this event. New Mexico Men of Honor puts together quarterly events, and they're inviting men from all different churches to come and be together in fellowship because, Dennis, you believe that when people do this, it will strengthen them as individuals, and then they can go back in their own, with their own men and their own groups, and strengthen their churches.
Amen to that. You know, we did something different a couple years ago, as we started to have discussions at the end of the teaching. So we'll be doing this also when Judge Vance Day comes. Is that at the end of the teaching, then we just have guys get in groups and we go over a couple of questions of what we just heard, and have the guys just kind of be transparent with each other and exchange phone numbers, and so that they can have some relationships from other churches, from other guys.
I like that.
And so I've seen a big change, and once we decided to do that, in men that, boy, I'm hearing more and more stories of what God is doing because I met this guy. And so it's been a big success. I think guys love to get together and talk, especially younger men listening to older men in Christ on how to get over issues, because these younger guys, I was there, I remember, younger guys with kids and a wife and trying to figure it all out with the job that might not be going so well and a house and payments and bills. There's a lot going on for younger guys in that situation. And older guys, they can help guys navigate through that, especially if guys are, you know, having some other problems with addictions. Guys that have been through that, man, their words are like wisdom. And when you couple that with the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit blesses that, boy, it's powerful.
Dennis, I want to play off of what you just said and direct this question to Judge Day. So there are men that are going to be open about having been involved with substance abuse. And they are going to be at this event because they like to share their testimony about how God freed them up and you can be healthy and you can escape this. I'm thinking that there's probably going to be men listening to this broadcast that are involved in addictions. If they need to stop, should they be at the event? In other words, they don't have to be fixed before they come, right?
Absolutely not. And then nobody would let me into any event. I wouldn't be able to attend. Look, we're not created to be lone rangers. A lone ranger is a dead ranger. They can't survive. They're not designed. We're not designed to do that. And in the same way, when we get into, and all of us have, you know, we can move into a place of addictive behavior. And because of the way we're created, without God at the center, it naturally happens. We get addicted to a lot of things, football or sports or sex or, you know, good things, quote unquote, too, we get addicted to. God wants us to be in liberty. And the only way we get to have liberty is have a vibrant relationship with Him and with other people. And that's why it's so important to learn how to function in a band of brothers, men who will encourage you and you can encourage them and you can stand by them. I've got friends that I've known since I was small, young, and hundreds of brothers who I know I can call on at any moment. One, ask for prayer. Two, ask for help. And three, ask for money if I need it.
Yeah. There you go.
Because they do that to me and I'm going to do that with them. Because we are created to be in connection. And so you don't have to be fixed up. You don't have to be all clean and dandy. None of us are. But we love Jesus. And when we come together, he's exalted, and we feel part of that community. And that's an eternal consequence. It's not a something that goes away unless we choose to walk away from it.
Yeah. Dennis, you were just bringing out in some past events you've discussed among the men in the group. Does that mean Judge Day will answer questions and do some things like that during the event?
Well, we could do that too, but what we usually do is have some questions that the speaker will put down that has to do with his message, and so then we'll discuss that at the end. But Judge will be in one of the discussions, I'm sure, you know, in one of the groups.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to walk around and toss grenades into them and have some fun.
There you go.
Challenge guys and laugh and joke, because that guys love to get together, and there's humor in that. Jesus was a really funny guy, is a really funny guy. So we should be having good time together, but and talk seriously about some of those issues, bear our scars, share those things. That's what brings a unity amongst men, mm-hmm. is a common purpose, a common understanding that we're broken and that we have a way to be who we're called to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember last time you were here, Judge, we were in a group of guys at a church. It was a Saturday evening or something. And my stomach was making all kinds of noises and you were sitting kind of close to me. And then all of a sudden you just turned and looked at me and go, "Thank you so much for holding all that in." And I was like, "What?" That's the kind of that was fun. We had a great time that night.
Yeah, well, men will give each other a hard time, that's for sure. But I think that's also kind of fun and all part of it. One more time, the New Mexico Men of Honor is having an event on October 19th. It's absolutely free, inviting men from all different churches. This is designed to help you fellowship with other men in other churches. Judge Vance Day is going to be the special speaker. New Covenant Church is at 7201 Paseo del Norte Northeast in Albuquerque, and you can go to nmmenofhonor.com and find out any details if you can't remember them from the broadcast. Judge Day, thanks so much for joining us. Dennis, it's awesome to have you as well, and we'll look forward to trying to have another conversation just before October 19th.
All right. Sounds good.
Being with you.
Thanks, guys.
God bless.
Bye-bye.